Cold. What is up, family? Welcome to Speak. We have some breaking news. We got to get right to it. That's James Jones, the brilliant Joy Taylor, Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Tady McCoy. But right now, it is about Joe Burrow because we just found out the tragic news that he is out the remainder of the season with a torn ligament in his right wrist. Jadeveon Clowney took him down on that play, and we believe that is where the injury occurred in last night's loss to the Baltimore Ravens. This is absolutely devastating news for the now 5-5 Bengals, who are well out of the playoff picture, roughly at 10th. Here's Joe Burrow.
The play before it happened, I landed on the wrist a little bit. And then the next play, you know, the touchdown pass, just felt the pop when in the middle of the throw. You know, tried to give it a go, but just couldn't get it done. So, and obviously got the news today. So, not great.
I hate this for Joe Burrow. I hate this for the National Football League. I hate this for all four of us at the desk. But most importantly, I hate it for the Burrow family and for the Bengals fans. But where I am with it, James, Joy, Shady, is that we have to acknowledge the fact at this point that Joe Burrow might be injury prone. Mm-hmm. What I love about sports is it separates the elite from the elite. And in order to be the greatest or amongst the greatest of all time, you both have to have it between the ears, the neck up, but you also have to have it from the neck down. You can have really, really great players, but unfortunately, if they get injured often, you do not get to see that greatness materialize. I love me some Joe Burrow. I absolutely do. Spent time with him last offseason, ran into him at a July 4th party at Mark Sanchez's house. Phenomenal human being he is. Phenomenal player he is. I think he's second only to Patrick Mahomes. But at the point in which he is now going to miss another season with an injury, I, as an analyst, have to objectively analyze the data and say to myself, this dude be getting hurt. He be getting hurt, y'all. It's just what happens. He is an incredible winner when he is on the field. But when you talk about quarterbacks and quarterbacks that have gotten injured, we now have to put Joe Burrow in that conversation. James Jones, I'm reminded of Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, a person I know well. When I think about Carson Wentz's career, it got off to a phenomenal start. Phenomenal start. He was en route to winning an MVP, but he got hurt. Carson Wentz, Joe Burrow, first 4 years of both of their careers, as much as we talked about Carson Wentz being injury prone, I think to myself, wait a second, Joe Burrow has missed more time than Carson Wentz once he misses the remainder of this season in the regular season. So I'm most saddened for Burrow, but I also have the sober realization that as talented as Joe Burrow is, and boy, he is talented, that injury-prone narrative is going to start to surface as it should.
No doubt, and he's on the edge of it. I mean, you're talking about these is two season-ending injuries that you've had. You had one your rookie year, and now you're having another one here. So with that being said, yes, he's flirting with it. The only reason why I wouldn't completely say it just yet is because Joe Burrow has showed us that he's a dog and he's going to go out there and he's going to play hurt and make it through some games. But when you talk about 4 years, two of your seasons being done due to injury, he is flirting with it. And it scares me because I don't know if any of you guys have dealt with injuries. I'm sure all you guys have dealt with injuries, whether they season ending or not. You start to think about them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if you tore your ACL and you come back, you feel anything little with your ACL, you start to think about those injuries. Now you mess your wrist up. You got to have season-ending surgery. If you come back next season and it starts messing with you, you're gonna think about that stuff. And the way Joe Burrow plays football, you can get hurt. I'm not saying he's running like Lamar Jackson, but you don't want to change Joe Burrow. We've seen Joe Burrow the first 4 weeks of this season with a calf injury, trying to throw the ball from the pocket, not really be mobile to get those explosive. And we've seen how this offense looked. It did not look good. So you want Joe Burrow to have the confidence and all that to go out there and play like Joe Burrow, move around, make plays with his legs. Sometimes you got to go get tough yards when you run it and all that. And now that he's battling a lot of these injuries, it might change the way he approaches the game and plays the game. It might change the way his coach calls some of these plays. So I think this is huge. He's definitely flirting with being an injury-prone player because these are two out of the four seasons to where it's done for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, this sucks. It's been a really rough year for quarterbacks. We've lost a lot of big-time talent, and it's disappointing. It's disappointing for Bengals fans. It's disappointing for us, as you said. We're not going to get to see one of the top talents in the league finish the season. It's really unfortunate. But I'm not so sure that Joe Burrow is injury-prone in so much as the Bengals have refused to put together an offensive line that can block for him. If I told you that the highest ranked pass blocking that the Bengals offensive line has been rated since he's been in the league was 25th, would you be surprised?
No.
Because that's this year. That's the highest, 25th. Last year was 31st, year after that. Before that was 29th. And the year before that, it was 27th. He has been sacked 148 times in his career. That's second most in the NFL since 2020. Russell Wilson's the only one that's been sacked more times since 2020. He was sacked 41 times in 2022. That's the sixth most in the NFL. Oh. The point is, he gets sacked a lot. Mm. Does that matter? Yeah. I don't know. You guys have been hit before. You've done some hitting before. Wear and tear from the amount of times that you've been hit does tally up at some point, right? That you have to pay the Reaper on that kind of wear and tear on your body. I assume as much. I haven't been tackled on the football field, but that's what it does.
Yeah, it hurts.
It hurts, okay? I know you was good, Shady. You avoided it, you know what I mean? You know, you're a little, you know,
hair and hair.
Kind of a dime, you know, I feel you.
A little red.
But if you get one or two or, you know, I don't know, 148 of them,
like
it might start to do some wear and tear on your body. And why resist the comparison that he is injury prone is because when I think of an injury prone player, I think of somebody who doesn't really fight through injuries or constantly has injuries even by putting themselves in danger. What I see with Joe Burrow is somebody who puts their body on the line, who pushes through injuries. He played earlier this season playing through an injury, and he wasn't obviously himself.
Yeah.
So I can't jump to he is injury prone in so much as I say he has had extra wear and tear on his body that a franchise quarterback should not have. He just shouldn't. The numbers are there.
Well, this injury right here is just, I mean, the Bengals, the playoffs picture is over. It's done, right? And then I look at also just when we compare quarterbacks, we go to playoffs, Super Bowls, mm-hmm. stats, mm-hmm. yards, touchdowns. And now this will be another year removed from him where he can't go out there and get a certain amount of touchdowns, mm-hmm. certain amount of yards. Where a guy like Lamar Jackson, a guy like Patrick Mahomes,
yeah.
they still be boosting up them stats,
yeah.
boost up their accolades. This might be the year now where, hey, guys like Patrick Mahomes, they won't see a Joe Burrow in the playoffs, which gave Patrick Mahomes trouble before.
Yep.
You look at the other guy like Lamar Jackson. Oh, well, I don't have to worry about Joe Burrow, you know, in the playoffs because he's not going to be there. So all these things are like alarming to him just because I love guys that have legacy, right? And Joe Burrow is one of them guys that has a legacy, and he's starting off very, very well. But you never know, man. Injury like this. He had an injury before season injury. Next year, you don't know how he's going to come back. So I just hate that part of the game because it's like we are being cheated from greatness. And I think not seeing Joe Burrow in football is yeah. cheating us.
Here's what I wonder real quick, because Jory brought up a really good point of the Bengals offensive line. And my thought process is, how are the Bengals going to have to reconstruct their roster in order to protect Joe Burrow? When you think about the game of football, what I love about the quarterback position, and Shade, you know this best, what I love about the quarterback position, a great quarterback allows you to turn a blind eye to deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs were like, our defense ain't great, but we got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So we don't have to pay a high money linebacker, yeah. a high money cornerback.
Okay.
We don't have to do all that because we got Pat.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are like, man, our skill positions ain't great. We could use a better number two. We could use a better running back, but you know what? We got Josh. He makes up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, if you go back to the Bengals, Joe Burrow's second year, they could have drafted Penei Sewell. They could have done it.
Mm.
But what'd they do instead, Shady?
Chase.
They took Jamar Chase.
Me and my boy.
And that was questioned at the time.
No doubt about it.
Me and my boy.
And in theory, you could question it now. So my question is, obviously, I wouldn't.
Jamar,
but if we want to talk about the fact that Joe Burrow has been sacked the second most times only to Russell Wilson since Russell stepped into the league, you could question it now. The question then becomes, based upon what Joy is saying, and I do think it's very bright what Joy is saying, is how are the Bengals going to have to restructure the roster? Because if you want to put more money into the offensive line, you can. But T. Higgins got to get paid.
Yeah.
If you want to put more money into the offensive line, you can. But Tyler Boyd going to want to re-up.
Yeah.
If you want to put more money into the offensive line, you can. But Jamar Chase is up.
Yeah.
So Joe Burrow has allowed this team to look over the offensive line so he can have his dogs. But Shady, you say it, and I agree with it. Joe Burrow has never had a bad receiving core.
Never.
At LSU, he had Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Thaddeus Moss, the son of Randy Moss, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he had another pick that went in the fifth round to the Panthers. Yeah, so, and he gets to the league. Marshall. He got Terrence Marshall. Yep. Gets to the league, got Jamar Chase, got Tyler Boyd, got T. Higgins, and got Joe Mixon. And not to mention the tight ends he's had.
And Joe might be gone.
So all I'm saying the injury for me means if we want to protect Joe more on the offensive line, we can do that. But James, at what cost to Joe?
Good point. That's a real good point, actually.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's why this sucks, because when you have an opportunity, even the way he's been sacked, this team with Joe Burrow this season, if he was 100% healthy, had an opportunity to get back to the Super Bowl and win it. Once you get injured, now all this stuff starts to creep in, because you start thinking about the stuff that Joy's saying. Okay, well, he's getting banged up. We got to protect him better. So you know what that means? Hey, we're going to have to draft a young player in the fourth, third round, whatever, and let T. Higgins walk, because we don't want to pay him. We want to put some dudes on the offensive line. So is Joe Burrow going to have a lot of success? Now it's double Jamar Chase. Somebody else got to win. That got to be a rookie. So does that mean holding the ball a little bit more? And it's even more. So that's why these injuries, they always bring up a lot of problems, especially when organizations, when guys are free agents and this things are coming up. It's going to be tough. And that's why I really, really hate injuries as football. I wish we didn't see none of them. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be a different Cincinnati Bengals team next year. And it has to be, because you have to find a way to protect the franchise. But I don't care who you're throwing to. You have to find a way to protect the franchise.
But this has been a problem.
Yes, it has.
You mentioned Jamar Chase. That was a shocking move because he got hurt in his rookie season because the offensive line wasn't good.
Right.
So this is not news. Like, I'm not delivering something that's shocking that the offensive line hasn't been good. They get the same statistics. They watch the same tape. They know these numbers. So this was always going to be something that they had to do. When we talk about championships, we talk about prime, right? What does he talk about? The trenches. Everyone knows that is the unit that you have to have in place if you're going to win a championship. What happened to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl? They had a unit, and what happened? They had injuries, and they didn't win. It's vital. So this has been an issue for the Bengals since Joe Burrow has come into the league. So when you say, what does it look like? It's got to look different, because otherwise you're going to continue down this path, and having Joe Burrow there and paying him is pointless, because he's not going to be able to stay healthy.
Shady, here's my question, though. It's like, this is when it comes down to, is Burrow one of them ones? Is Burrow one of them ones?
What you mean by that?
What I mean by that is Patrick Mahomes doesn't have a ton of help at the skill positions anymore. But his left tackle now just got it paid. They got him from the Bucks. Patrick Mahomes has Travis Kelce, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Rashee Rice, third-round pick, I think, from SMU. Princeton. Got Sky Moore, I think, a third-round pick or a second-round pick from last year. So it's like you got Kadarius Toney on a rookie deal, but Patrick Mahomes is one of them ones.
Patrick Mahomes is... He's more than one of them ones. He's like the one of one.
Correct.
He's like three ever.
That's it. Them ones.
But you can win a championship as not one of them ones without being Patrick Mahomes and having just Travis Kelce. Like, you can put together a roster that has, you have to draft, you have to develop. Like, it's not, this is, everyone has to do this. Everyone can't just pay everybody and have number one receivers up and down the roster.
Really, really good point, though, because we had the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's like, go get a number one wide receiver. Go draft a first-round wide receiver. Free agency. Jordy, second round. Cobby, second round. D-Drive, seventh round. Greg Jennings, second round. I'm third round. And 12 found a way to spin it around. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, like Shady's saying, you've been playing with all these big-time receivers, but if we got to spend some money to protect you, then we still need you to go be out there to be Joe, even though we're giving you some free agents or some rookies.
And that's what happens when the quarterback gets paid, that's when the teams kind of fall apart. Because, okay, now you got all this money in one position. He's a great player, but we got to see how great he is, because if he's as great as we think, because we can't pay all the linemen.
Yeah. Right?
We can't pay all the wide receivers. So some got to give.
Some got to give.
And I think that, and to your point, you're saying he's getting banged up. Okay, cool. So either you run the ball more, right? Because they are last in rushing, am I correct?
But who had to take a pay cut?
That's another one, see?
Joe Mixon had to take a pay cut. Right. Either, Joe Burrow had to get breaded.
You got either got to put money on the offensive line, or you got to put it to the wide receiver. You made a great point also with the Chiefs. I know I had a great time talking with Brett Veach, their GM. And I was just talking ball. And he was saying that they got to put so much emphasis on the draft, because so much money is tied to the quarterback and to the tackle and to the tight end. So they can't go out there and get this a super big-time wide receiver.
Right.
They can't go out there and get two of them. They can't do it. So if you look at the Bengals, now I will say this, because I got to do my job. Like, everybody likes to talk about the Patriots and offensive line. And I remember playing them. I didn't think their offensive line was that great. T. Tom gets the ball off so quick.
Yeah.
You have no chance to really get him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not blaming Joe Burrow because the way they play the game, they throwing the ball deep. He's throwing everywhere. So it's a matter of this. I don't know, man. You got to be either better GMs and draft better or pick and choose. You going to go with the wide receivers or go with the linemen?
Yeah, well, this is the breaking news of the day. We're just getting started talking about it. One of the best quarterbacks in all of football officially done for the season. This shakes up the entire AFC picture. It shakes up the Super Bowl picture. The Bengals were up there with favorites to win the Super Bowl. I know I had them in it. What does it mean for the NFL when we return?
Soon,
the
Jody.
Shocking news. Don't forget, check us out every day. Fox Sports Channel, SiriusXM.
That was a great block, actually.
All right, family, we're in second and short. Once again, it is the breaking news of the day. There really has been no bigger sports story, you could argue, all season than Joe Burrow missing the rest of the season with this torn wrist ligament. Burrow said today that he was going to tape it up and give it a shot, but he just couldn't go. Bringing this on camera, should the Bengals be worried about Joe Burrow? Joy Taylor,
that's
what
pretty tough,
do
though.
You? So you just going to tape it up?
Tape it up.
Give it a shot.
Come on, dog. Give me a Band-Aid. I'm ready.
I mean, we love that about him, though, right? Like, that's the type of player that he is.
He's
he wants
dog.
To be out there. He's going to try and be out there. He's toughed it through injuries before. But this is just really unfortunate. I can't say that they should be worried about Joe Burrow unless they plan on changing the way that they've been doing business. They've got to get an offensive line. They play in the AFC North. The Steelers, I don't know if you've noticed, are winning games off of defense. Mm-hmm. Cleveland has a really good defense. What does Baltimore have?
They got defense. The number one defense.
Yeah. So lining things up, you're going to need to protect your quarterback, especially the way that the Bengals play offense. They're a high-flying, almost finesse mm-hmm. offense. You've got to build the trenches. This has been a problem since he's come into the league. Well, I'll say they shouldn't be worried about Joe Burrow, and why I am not worried about Joe Burrow is because we've seen the talent level that Joe Burrow has. Yes, he's missed a lot of games. His rookie year obviously was because of the offensive line. This one we can attribute to the offensive line or just bad luck, but he's been sacked a bunch, 148 times since he's entered since 2020. So nothing is everything, everything is something. I think that matters. I think the amount of wear and tear that your franchise quarterback has on his body is going to affect how healthy he can stay. But I know how talented he is. I know how much he cares about this game. I know what kind of leader he is. And so from that perspective, I think he's going to have a very long career and will continue to be as talented as he is despite the injuries.
It's hard for me to agree with that. And the reason is because those injuries mean so much. I was thinking about it today while we were working out. James, you and I was in the weight room. We've been having a conversation. I was like, Russell Westbrook, he's a top 75 player all time. Mm-hmm. I surmise if Derrick Rose Ooh, wouldn't have got hurt,
wee.
He too would be a top 75 what? Player all time.
I'd be top 50.
Top 50, I'm about to say. But Derrick Rose got hurt.
Yeah.
And he got hurt often.
Mm.
And as a result, Derrick Rose, what would he have been? Now, I'm not saying that of Joe Burrow just yet. Not at all. But what I am saying and why I'm worried about the Bengals is you got to change the way you approach Joe Burrow. And what's that going to change on the field? If you're the Bengals, Joe Burrow can't go through training camp again. Dude strained his calf on the first play of training camp.
Mm.
Training camp. He wasn't getting hit. He wasn't getting sacked. He wasn't getting pressured. First play of training camp, when he's wearing a green jersey which says, do not touch him, he got hurt. Last year during camp, appendectomy. Year before, misses the season. 2 years before, misses the season. This year, sprained wrist. So now you low-key got to treat the dude like he's bubble-wrapped.
No.
You have to.
Man.
You worth $275 million. What you going to do, James?
I mean,
when he walks to practice, don't touch him. Don't look at him too long. Don't breathe on him. Don't pat him on the shoulder. You better treat him like he's bubble wrapped for $275. At what cost?
Yeah.
That's why I'm worried about the Bengals, because if they do what Joy suggests and you do now supplement the offensive line, at what cost? Yeah. 2019 first-round pick was Jonah Williams, offensive tackle out of Alabama. 2020 first-round pick could have been Penei Sewell.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden, the whole outside of your line is protected. But if you draft Penei Sewell, you don't got Jamar Chase.
Yep.
And if you don't got Jamar Chase, are we talking about Joe Burrow?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't got Jamar Chase, is Joe Burrow a top five quarterback? Mm-hmm. If you don't got Jamar Chase, is Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl? I don't know, because Jamar Chase got all the records for the Cincinnati Bengals in one season. So at what cost? If you want to supplement the Bengals' offensive line, please do so. Mm-hmm. But just know, it's a zero-sum game. Mm-hmm. If you rob from Peter, you're going to pay Paul, but Peter going to want his money
Somebody
back.
Somebody going to get some money.
So real quick, so you saying that, so a different approach for him, is that like the way they practice him, the way?
Yes.
So I, even that part, man.
3-2-5.
I don't know, man. Andy Reid was big on like he needs his players to go through it. Like, I need you to the same training, the same development. How we know if he's not getting the same type of coach and same type of development, he's going to be the same player?
That's my point.
Okay, you know what, Joe? You know what? You can't practice these days. Like, mm-hmm. huh? I don't. Because he's still young. It's not like he's an old vet.
Correct. Very young.
I don't know if I like that, but I hear you. It's just,
what do you do?
Right, what do you
like,
do?
Like, okay. Shady, you're a big money man. You make a lot of money in the league. You do a lot with real estate.
I never made that type of money.
But what would you, but like, you're a leader of people.
Right.
What would you do? If you're $275 million quarterback, has missed two of his four seasons, and he's walking into the building, what would you do? Would you change your approach? Or would you just be like, hey, I know you'd be getting hurt during
you know
camp,
what?
But
no. I would have a serious conversation with the owner, serious conversation with the GM, right? And if I'm Zach, right? Mm-hmm. And I will talk to our coordinator. Like, hey, listen, how can we make this thing safer for Joe Burrow, right? It may be the play calling. Maybe we have to run the ball way more than we do now. Maybe we have to do something with the personnel. Maybe we can't sign T. Higgins. Maybe we have to go out there and get you an expensive tackle, right? Because every team does it. Mm-hmm. But only thing is, when you have that money, man, as the quarterback, things are different. For example, you look at the Dolphins. They got all these cool mm-hmm. pieces going on. Mm-hmm. What you going to do at quarterback? You going to pay him? You pay Tua now. What's going to happen? Because everybody's going to get paid.
Yep.
Waddle's going to get paid eventually. And then they got a left tackle with Armstead. That he got a lot of money. So it's like, how do you work it? So every team is different.
Yeah.
That's why with the Chiefs, I mean, everybody's crying about, oh, they don't have no weapons. I know they don't. They quarterback got a lot of money, right? And there's other pieces that got a lot of money. So it's a give and take situation.
Yeah,
Chris Jones, he wants to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pay you the max money, or we can't. Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
The best piece to me is Kelce, but the most attractive, you know, biggest playmaker they had was Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And they told him, listen, bro, we want you so bad, but we can't keep you because of the money.
Yeah.
They had to make a decision. So my thing is, what are you going to do, Bengals? I make a decision.
Well, number one, I'm good with you having a red jersey on at practice, but we got to work.
We got to work.
We got to work. Each season we come into this thing, we trying to win the Super Bowl. We trying to get there. You got to get the chemistry not only with your receivers, but you got to get the chemistry with your offensive linemen as well. So for me, I understand nobody touches the quarterback in practice, but we got to work and we got to get in football shape. And that's what I hate about injuries, because you start thinking about stuff like
yes.
this.
Yes.
The coaches start thinking about stuff like yeah. this. How should we call the game now that Joe Burrow, we don't want him to get hit. We don't want him holding the ball. Your offense is not like the Patriots offense, ball come out of your hands fast. That's not what you guys do. So that ain't even on Zach's call sheet. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's so many things that has to change. And number one is the offensive line. You have to go change the offensive line if you are that organization. I don't care who's out there. You know you got Chase under contract. He is going to demand a lot of attention. It don't matter who on the other side of him if you have JoJo Burrow. At least that's what we think. But he has to show us that. But you have to go and you have to get some offensive linemen. You have TJ Watt. Who really, it don't matter what offensive lineman you get. You got Myles Garrett. It really don't matter what offensive line.
But at least Clowney is balling,
exactly,
too, in Baltimore.
And Baltimore always got a couple of them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you got to go. You're in this division. You have to try to protect your quarterback and keep him upright in this division and make sure that he has that confidence behind his O-line. But you got to practice. You can't go out there, because then if he goes out there and he doesn't practice and he gets hurt, we're going to be sitting up here talking like,
and
well, he ain't in that.
His accuracy and his best thing is time.
Right.
Joe,
and if you're going to be sacrificing the talents at the skill positions for an offensive line, mm-hmm. which I think we all agree you have to do at this point or make some adjustments, you're going to need to work with those other players, because they aren't going to be T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase mm-hmm. and Boyd and all that. I do disagree with the bubble wrap idea or the deal of just the idea of approaching him differently. I do think that they need to fix the offensive line. I think they probably need to run the ball more. They need to make some adjustments when it comes to that. But Dax missed 17 games since 2020. Nobody's talking about bubble wrapping him. Deshaun Watson, anyone in that same division? We didn't say anything about bubble wrapping him. He's missed 20 games since 2017. Mm. He's been out quite a bit.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is also not playing this season. He's missed 32. Assuming that he doesn't come back this season, he will have missed 32 games since 2013.
He's been playing since...
He's missed 25 since 2017.
Mm. Well.
Nobody's bubble wrapping him. If Burrow misses the rest of the... If Burrow's going to miss the rest of the season, it'll be 13 games since 2020. He's right in that category with all those guys, and we don't mention bubble wrapping any of them.
But do you view them... Where I view Burrow differently. and I would say objectively, but also realistically. I view Burrow more as a conduit to his team, exclusively. You brought this up yesterday when I was saying how valuable somebody was. Well, Cooper Rush went 4-1 with the Cowboys. I don't see the Bengals going 4-1 without Joe Burrow. Maybe they will with Jake Browning. You know,
they're going to be.
Okay. Deshaun Watson is not the conduit for Cleveland?
I think he is. But again, yesterday we had a heated conversation about Deshaun Watson's value to the Cleveland Browns, how good they are without him.
I mean, he's not been playing well, but they're not doing anything or winning in the postseason.
They haven't been winning without him.
Correct. So I agree on that. I just know that's not nearly as a uniform take. I think some people do question the value of Deshaun. So where I'm at with Burrow is I don't necessarily want to bubble wrap him. I don't want to. But at the point in which you got hurt during training camp, scrambling.
Yeah.
We same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Insanity.
Yes, yeah,
so like it would almost be insane to just roll him back out there in training camp again, just full go. The other question I have, though, is you brought this up, Shady, you brought this up during the Draymond Green fighting conversation. Man, you can't take that dog out, Draymond. That's what makes Draymond great. Let's not be confused. What makes Joe Burrow great is his ability to extend plays.
No doubt.
Like, let's not get confused, audience at home. It's like, the reason that Burrow is Burrow is because he can twirl, he can whirl, he can see Jamar down the field and throw a strike. Yep. So if now all of a sudden we want to refine Joe Burrow to becoming a more on-time pocket passer, you're going to take the Joe Burrow out of Joe Burrow.
When they beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead, that game, it was more of him breaking tackles.
That's it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So remember, Joe Burrow pre-calf strain when he couldn't move in poker. Post-calf strain when he couldn't move. So, James, I'm just wondering, like, how if we change the offense, will he be the same? Yeah. If we change how Joe Burrow functions, will he be the same? Yeah. If we change his receiving core for the offensive line, will he be the same? We're trying to change what made Joe Burrow and the Bengals a Bengals.
Yeah, and it sucks, and this is why I hate injuries, but you got to be mindful of it, Joe. Like, what I mean by that is, if you got T.J. Watt over there, in your mind, ball got to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, or you got to get out of there right now. You know what I'm saying? But you got to have that in your mind. It's not drop back, hold it for 3 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, then I'm trying to escape. No, T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett, them boys is coming. All right, pause. All right, but at the same time, you have to have that in your mind to where this football is coming out quickly.
There you go.
Right? It might not be every play, but even as an offensive coordinator, as a head coach, that's what we're working on in training camp. Right? If we decide to keep T. Higgins and not revamp this offensive line or bring it, look, we need to work on this quick game. We need to work on getting the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands. You don't really see a lot of motion in or none of that in Cincinnati's offense.
No.
Maybe we need to do that. Yeah. Maybe you need to motion some guys so the ball can come out of his hands fast and he knows exactly what the defense is
doing. And they're going to empty set, too.
But here's my problem, though. Real quick, Shady. My only problem is this is a team that has made the AFC Championship game the last 2 years.
Ooh.
This is a team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago and almost won again last year. So we're sitting here saying they got to change this, got to change
don't
that.
Change.
But I don't think you have to change everything. You run the ball more. You should be doing that anyway. You're in the AFC North. Run the ball more.
But why would, like, that sounds great, but, like, why would I do that when I've gone to the Super Bowl and AFC Championship game doing exactly
because
what
I because you don't have to adjust. You don't have to change. Like, everything doesn't have to be this or let's do this. Like, you can make adjustments. Yeah. You can adjust. You can run the ball more. Not run the ball all the time. Run it more.
Yeah.
Get a better offensive line. Adjust some pieces in the skill positions so that you keep your top skill positions, but maybe you draft or maybe you get some in free agency so that you can shore up other parts of your offense. Maybe you do make it more high tempo so that the ball gets out quicker from Joe Burrow's hands. Who is extremely accurate? Who is an extremely intellectual quarterback? You don't have to change the entire way that you approach everything that you're doing because of these injuries. And again, while he has had injuries, I think we're getting a little hyperbolic. I know we're all upset that he's out. I am too. But there's guys who've missed way more games than Joe Burrow that we don't freak out and say, change the entire way that you play the game.
But wouldn't you say, the reason I'm freaking out, if you will, is you miss 2 seasons, the end of 2 seasons in 4 years?
That's pretty silly. Okay, can we say unequivocally the first one is because of the offensive line? Like we all like saw that happen, right?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm not saying
this one might be.
You can blame the offensive line, but that's
okay,
the truth.
So yeah, this might be the truth. It is on the Bengals more than it is him, if that's what we're going to say. Like it's on the way that they play, the way that they decide to build this team, and that's the case of it. But even that said, there's guys who've missed more time.
This is what I'm saying. And I don't want to go into that. Because the result is the result.
That's where I'm at.
You know what I mean? Whatever it may be, he's hurt again.
Yeah.
My thing is, though, even with the running thing, when I said it earlier, is because, like, you got to adjust. Every team goes through this. So my thing is, okay, ain't like your running back ain't that good. Yeah. Joe Mixon's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Maybe run the ball a little bit more than you normally do. Maybe do more play action than you normally do. Like, I just think that sometimes we think because we have such a great quarterback that we got to put the ball in his hands. And I get it. Yeah. $219 million guaranteed. That's 275. I get that. Put the ball in his hands. But the best player to ever play football, in my opinion, the one that's most dominant is Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady threw the ball a lot, but Tom Brady ran the ball a lot.
He did.
Right? And they made it clear, listen, we want to win this game at any cost. There's times when Tom Brady would check from a pass to a run. There's games where he's winning the playoffs, running the ball. Okay, here we're going to do a play action. Even when I played with Tom Brady with the Bucs at last championship, he was so upset with the play call sometimes because, listen, I won championships. This is what I do. This is my DNA. I don't want to throw the ball 40, 50 times.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not what I want to do. Yeah. I want to throw the ball enough, but I want to run this thing so much now I can do the play action. That's why the Gronk and Brady thing was so special.
But let's rap really about these championships.
Okay.
I don't know if the Bengals have the luxury that Brady did, because you know better than most. You were a part of one of those teams. Brady was winning Super Bowls 13-3. Remember, like, Brady's defenses, every year Brady won a Super Bowl, top 10 defense. I believe 4 of the 6 in New England, top 5 defense. You know better than anybody. If you're going to beat Pat, it ain't finna be because you're sitting here handing it to Mixon.
But I'm saying to get there.
Gotcha.
We can't forget about them games against the Colts. Can't forget about them games against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. We can't forget about them games where they ran the ball a lot. And I just think that if you – one thing about Brady, he always would say in the office meeting when it would just be, like, us in a skill position, he'd be like, yo – Winning playoff games and football games ain't going to be me throwing the ball a million times. Mm-hmm. It's going to be playing football, and that is running the ball game, first downs, third and fours, third and threes, manageable downs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how he plays. Now, other guys like Peyton, they probably threw the ball a lot more, but the winning DNA, I think it's just right now in this era, it's not sexy, right? Can I say that to you?
Yeah, it's
not beautiful. It's not cute. It's not attractive.
Yeah.
No, sometimes I say different words. You know what I mean? But it's not attractive, though, to run the ball a lot now, right? Everything is just throwing the ball downfield, et cetera. So my thing is, if you want to earn your check as a coach, as an owner, you got to do that. And it might be adjusting to the game.
I just got a quick question.
For who?
For you. When Tom came over there from the Patriots, who they draft?
When Tom came to
a quarterback.
No. Who they draft in the first round when Tom said he going to Tampa?
Mac Jones.
Tristan.
No, he's talking about the
Bucs. Oh, the Bucs. Yeah. Oh, the Bucs. Oh, yeah. Tristan Wirfs.
Exactly. Right? Protect the man.
Mm-hmm. Well, before you, I mean, I get what you're going with that, but like, I mean, we didn't have no other tackle. we had every other position but that. So that example's kind of.
I understand that, but it's protect the franchise, though. So at one point, for me with the Cincinnati Bengals, this is $290 million, $19 million, whatever million dollars. You got to protect the franchise.
Last thing for me, when we beat up on your Green Bay Packers, right? Tom Brady and all that, we won that game by defense. And running the ball.
I know, but that's Lenny offensive Fournette. Lineman, too, though.
I mean,
Protect the franchise. And that offensive
lineman. Running the ball, you don't need no great super tackles to do that.
Mixon better come back for his money, then, because Joe Mixon, the starter for the Bengals, he took a pay cut
for
the sake of Joe Burrow and company. Okay, when we return, it is time for America's favorite segment. It is time for Friday Flowers.
Okay.
Joy Taylor handing out flowers to some of the unsung heroes in sports. Can't wait to hear about it. Next on
Can I take this beat from mine? Do you care, Joy?
You like this beat?
Do you
I'm feeling this is fast. Yeah, you take it.
Taylor, make that
Hey, family, there's only one way to wrap up another wild week in sports, and that's with Joy Taylor handing out some flowers. Joy.
Let's get started. My first flower goes to Cowboys star wideout CeeDee Lamb, who has clearly established himself as the Cowboys' number one wide receiver and a number one receiver, right, Shady? And CeeDee is on a record-setting roll right now with 3 straight games with 10-plus catches and 150-plus yards. That's never been done before by an NFL receiver. The Cowboys released a video that you can see behind me where you can hear teammates and coaches working to make sure CeeDee got that one last catch to get the 8 yards he needed to clear 150. So congrats to CeeDee. Flowers to you. An incredible season so far as a number one receiver. Moving from the field to track and field, Sha'Carri Richardson had her most dominant season yet in 2023. The 23-year-old is the world champion in the 100-meter and 4x100-meter relay. And now she's the USA Track and Field Athlete of the Year, along with Noah Lyles. Great to see Sha'Carri doing her thing on the track again, and she deserves all the flowers from us here at Sneak.
Okay, girl, I'll see you.
And my final flower goes to Saquon Barkley, who won the NFLPA Community MVP for Week 10. The Giants are struggling on the field this season, but Saquon has not lost any perspective. He met with individuals living in homeless camps in his hometown of Allentown, Pennsylvania, offering them his ear and the help of his foundation, the Michael Ann and Saquon Barkley Hope Foundation. Saquon donated supplies to help folks prepare for winter, saying that, quote, "At times growing up, we struggled with home insecurity, so I can relate to some degree to the challenges that many families are facing these days. A great reminder that you never know what other people are going through." So flowers to Saquon Barkley for all that he is doing in the community.
Yeah, that's big time by Saquon, because I mean, I was a homeless kid. I grew up first 15 years of my life homeless, you know, sleeping under bridges, in tents, all that. So for him to get back like that, that's why I do the same thing, you know, back in Milwaukee, Bay Area, all that. So that's big time by Saquon.
It's real.
Very, very, very powerful stuff.
I went to town though.
Yep.
We used to have camp up there every year with the Eagles.
Yeah. I thought it was Lehigh.
Am I tripping? Yeah, I'm tripping. When I was in prep school, I'm tripping.
I should let you make it.
When I was in prep school, though, I would go through Allentown to get to New York. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, my bad. I knew it was somewhere like school and football.
Somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Either way, Shady, you were all pro, so it doesn't matter where you practice. All right, family, when we return, it's the Shady Bowl. Super Bowl rematch, Eagles-Chiefs. All-time rushing leader, Shady, for the Eagles. Super Bowl champ for the Chiefs. But now it's Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes era. What will they say about it? Who has more to prove, Eagles or Chiefs? Next.
I think we changed it to Allentown. That's what's special today. I bought one of my good friends. His name is Slim. You have a Slim? You got Shady.
When the Eagles win, Eagles show up on set. Let's get to first and 10. That's not the noise Eagles make. That's the noise Eagles make.
You see AJ right there?
That's my dog.
You know what it is.
Y'all pillow talking 2-5 with you?
We got a special deal. You don't like certain words to certain teams? Me either.
We don't say the D word on set of deck.
One thing about Slim, he gonna let you know.
If you say one more word to Slim about my Eagles, and he gonna have something to say about it.
Again next.
Yo, y'all already know, if the Eagles win, Slim gonna be back in the building.
Ooh, be back.
But it's gonna be hard for the Eagles to win because they are facing the Super Bowl champ Chiefs. This is the biggest matchup of the NFL season. Long awaited. It's a rematch of the Super Bowl. Eagles center Jason Kelce said, quote, "I don't buy into Super Bowl revenge games." Well, guess what, Kelce? I do. Shady, you won two Super Bowls, one with the Chiefs, one with the Bucks. You've been there before, but you're the all-time leading rusher for the Eagles. Why we coin it the Shady Bowl. Who needs this win more?
Before I answer this question, I want to ask you guys, do y'all know the last time that the Eagles beat the Chiefs?
I'm going to say 2013.
Okay.
That's wrong.
I had a really good game. Did I have a good game?
2012.
Oh, no, okay, that's two wrongs.
2009.
2-5 balled out that game.
What'd you give him?
The last time.
What'd you give him? What'd you go for?
I was rookie.
Like
anybody,
right? Anybody,
yeah.
Oh, they balled out?
Yeah, I was a rookie. So I'm going to go with...
Come on out for rookie, I guess.
The Chiefs. The Chiefs need to win, I think, more. Just because, first of all, the best team in football right now, without going to just respecting what the Chiefs has done over the last couple years, but right now, it's the Eagles. The Eagles have the best record for a reason. And they've been playing a lot cleaner, where the Chiefs been up and down on offense, right? The defense been kind of carrying them. They need this win. And I just think that if the Eagles, not the Eagles, if the Chiefs win this game, we'll look at them in a different light. Now, we already look at them in a different light because of the things they invested in this league and what they've done. But if they beat this type of team, losing to the Broncos, right, that was a bad loss. Mm-hmm. So if they get this win, they get back on track, and then everybody's talking about them again, get that confidence in the young receivers and the young team and in general.
Eagles got to win this.
Birds
got to win this.
The best team in football got to win this game?
Got to win it.
Okay.
Got to win it. And it's the same reason why I felt like Dak Prescott playing the Niners, right? At one point, you got to beat these boys. Mm-hmm. You lost to them in the Super Bowl. They took the ring off your finger and said, get going. And y'all played a really good football game.
That's true.
And now you come into the regular season, this one should have been circled. You're walking, I truly believe they're walking into this thing the better football team. So you walking in there, the better football team, and I'm not talking record-wise. I'm talking about how they playing on the football field. They're walking into this thing, the better football team. And if you lost in the Super Bowl and you come in the regular season and you lose again, depending on how you lose as well, then now that's when it starts creeping up. Because if it's anybody we think that's going to come out of the AFC, if we all had to put some money down on it, we're going to say it's the Chiefs. So you're going to have to see them again. You don't want to go into the Super Bowl again with the mindset of can we beat these boys. Because I'm a confident football player, and I know who's ever out there. I think we're going to win. But it's always stuff that creeps in the back of your mind. Can we beat these boys? Can I outperform Patrick Mahomes? So this one is big for the Philadelphia Eagles to know. I know you're 8 and whatever, but this one right here, this is the one they should circle right here and go get this one right here.
He's not circling again.
This is the one you should circle right here.
It ain't no schedule here. Just write Chiefs and circle it.
We ain't forgot, all right? You know what I'm saying? I ain't never shown somebody show their NFC or AFC championship ring.
That's facts.
You know what I'm saying? They took that. So we got to go let the world know that we can play with these boys and beat these boys.
Did you use to print schedules and circle it?
You know what I'm saying? Circle it. Around. It's the one.
What do we say when something's bad? Bad. This game is big.
Yes, it is.
This is a big game. Everything James just said, and actually, I agree with you, Shady, on the opposite side. Okay. I'm picking the Eagles to win this game, but I think that the Eagles need this game more than the Chiefs. If the Eagles lose to the Chiefs on next week, what are we talking about? Are we talking about Chiefs being the best team in the league? Are we talking about how the Eagles may not really have it? Can they really beat the big teams? They really can't take down Mahomes. The consequences to losing are much bigger for the Eagles than it is for the Chiefs, because the Chiefs have already won. They have the ring, and they took it from the Eagles. So I think it just matters more mentality-wise for the Eagles, even though they're a very confident team and the best team in the league, so it really shouldn't. But the narrative around it will be that. Also, this game is going to matter for the MVP conversation. I know that's not what either of these guys are playing for, but they're tied right now. They're right here, the best teams in the league. We're going to look back to this game they played and faced off on it. How did it look? Mm. Who outplayed each other in that game? So there's a lot on the line in this matchup.
No doubt.
No.
How can you beat the Chiefs if you don't beat the Chiefs Sunday, Monday? Mm. How can you beat them? If the Eagles don't win, and this is why it's more important for the Eagles to win for me, they're going to start to ask themselves, well, how can we beat them?
Exactly.
Shady and I used to do one-on-one drills every day at practice, 2013 and 2014. So every now and then I try to jump Shady. Okay, I'm a quick jump. I'm going to just see if I can throw him off. Okay, next time I'm going to let Shady try to come to me and then see if I can read his route. If I can't beat him when I quick jump him, and if I can't beat him when I read his route, eventually I'm going to start ask myself,
you can't guard him.
I just can't beat him.
Yeah.
People say Jalen Hurts balled out in the Super Bowl. Now, as a defender, I think if you have a turnover for a touchdown, I ex-nay that. But people say he did, so I won't disagree. He balled out.
Don't say people. Just say Shady.
Shady
think
so
he balled out.
Jalen balled out. If Jalen balled out and you couldn't win, now say Jalen doesn't ball. Say the rest of the team balls. Say Jalen has a quiet game and Swift and AJ and Smitty go off. Now you can't win. Now how can you win? If you can't win when Jalen has 4 touchdowns, now say Swift has 4 touchdowns, and you still lose, now how can you win? You can't. And at least in your head, you can't. And I can say this with genuine experience, because I used to have to try to guard Shady, and I'd be like, okay, Acho, this is what you're going to do this time.
You're thinking too much.
I get this what you're going to do this time.
People get me. I'm mad as hell, too.
And then I'd be like, I go back, I watch tape. Okay, Acho, you going to do this? Oh, eventually, I'm just like, you know what? Nah, can't do it.
Well, can I ask you this? Because I think the Chiefs have been at the top of the mountain for a long time. And I think that this is the first time where I've seen them like, man, they don't look – they look good, but they look shaky on offense, which is normally their best part of their game. And I'm thinking, if you can't get the Chiefs now, then when will you ever get them? So I do think this is the time that you can get the Chiefs before they start clicking. Because I do think that eventually Andy Reid is so smart and so intelligent, so good. Patrick Mahomes, we already know what he is. Travis Kelce, when they get the other young boys around them playing well, then they'll be clicking. But right now, they're still trying to figure it out.
And that's why I think it's more important for them.
And they're at home.
Yeah.
That's another thing why I said she should win. You at home.
Yeah, but
right? That matters too now. And Arrowhead is loud, loud.
I know it is.
Like, what you say? Yeah. It's loud.
But that's why it's even more important for the Eagles, strictly because of that right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are the better team.
They are the better team.
So
I think this should have even more better than last year.
I don't care who's over there right now. You're walking into this game the better team. I remember when we hit the playoffs in 2010 on our way to the Super Bowl playing the Falcons. They was 13-3. Matt Ryan, MVP and all that. We got off the bus and everybody like, they walking like they going to win because we knew we was the better team. 10-6, whatever. It didn't matter record-wise. We on tape, what we are watching right now, we better than y'all. And we got to go out there and beat this team. And I say we, and I ain't on the Eagles. They never been. But they got to go out there.
Hey, don't be saying no win. You are not with us.
I ain't.
Yeah, so say the Philadelphia
Eagles.
They
have to go out there.
Yeah. What's wrong with them?
No.
Oh, well, you can't. Oh, I'm bad. On occasion.
Well,
so hold up.
I'm kidding.
Because he was the Niners a lot.
Bang, bang.
Yeah.
All right, family. Our week 11 picks are in. When you return from break, find out what we said and who we said it about. That's next on.
Jay, you better take yourself back over there.
You know, I'm over here.
Philadelphia ain't letting you get here.
Yeah, my dog sleep. 49ers concerns. Kyle Shanahan is overrated.
George Kittle, goodbye! Heave-ho and a touchdown!
Steve Wilks can't coach.
They said it was going to be a race to the quarterback. How much fun are they having?
Brock Purdy was a flash in the pan.
Purdy keeps it alive and floats it in there. Touchdown!
49ers are pretenders. Dang, some people did say that.
It is a rout. Forget about that three-game losing streak. It's good to be a 49er.
Cuckoo!
There you go. There you go. My bad. I was sleeping during all them Niners concerns. Mm. They put all the concerns to rest. We had a little too much fun on this show. All right, very quickly, our picks of the weekend. My surprise pick, I don't really think I have any surprises, but I am going with the Dolphins to end the Raiders' two-game win streak under Pierce. Joy?
Yeah, I have the Dolphins, too. I don't know I have a surprise pick either. I guess I'm going with the Texans and the Cardinals. Steelers over the Browns. Maybe that's a surprise pick.
Come on, Acho. I don't even know who I'm going with. Acho just finna end my dog Antonio Pierce. Oh,
man.
I don't know. Have a great weekend, family.
I win every week. Like, what you want me to say, man? Like, come on.